Thank you very much for the invitation. So the title of my talk is on the existence of sub-Gaussian directions on local cave measures. This is a joint work with Apostolos Giannopoulos and Petros Valletas from the University of Athens. And let me start with some basic notation and definition. So PN will be the class of all probability measures that are absolute continuous with respect to the Beck. And we will say that such a measure will be such a measure is low concave if it satisfies this inequality. It is known that if it is low concave and continuous with respect to Lebesgue, then the density is a low concave function, so function that the logarithm is concave. Also, assume that all my measures are centered. That means that the integral of all linear functionals is zero. And example of low concave measures is the uniform measure on a convex body in Rn. All the results that I will describe today are true for low concave measures, but I prefer to talk just for indicator of a convex body. And with small modifications, all the proof pass also to the case of low concave measures. Also, I'm talking about sub-Gaussian direction, so let me give you the definition. We say that direction theta is sub-Gaussian for the measure mu with some constant rho if the C2 norm of the linear functional is less than r times the median, where m theta is the median of the absolute value of the linear functional with respect to mu, and the C2 norm of the function is the usual definition, the infimum of t positive such that the exponential of f over t to the square is less than 2. I will always consider I will consider that my body is in an isotropic position. So if I have a centered convex body, that means that I already shifted in order the integrals of all linear functionals to be zero. I have a normalization k to the volume of k to be 1 in order to have a probability measure, and then I define the support function of a body that I will call it as z2 of k to be the integral over k of the linear functional to the square. So this is this defines a norm of an ellipsoid. So there exists a linear transformation to make this ellipsoid a ball, and this corresponds also to a linear transformation of the body. And in this case, I will say that the body is isotropic, and the radius of the ball we denote it as Lk. Lk is called the isotropic constant of the body k. Now, one word about the quantity Lk. It is known that it is bigger than the isotropic constant of the Euclidean ball, and it is a major open question if it is uniformly bounded by a universal constant for all convex bodies in all dimensions. Although this will not be an issue here on this talk, but let me start with some history, or perhaps before, let me describe in a picture what we talk, what we say is sub-Gaussian constant. So let's say that we have a convex body K of volume 1, and we have some direction theta. the inequality that the C2 norm of the linear functional is less than r times the median says the following, that if I will take the volume of x and k so that x scalar theta, so this is on distance e times the median, bigger than t times the median, this decays as e to minus t squared, and r will be the sub-Gaussian constant. So when we're looking for sub-Gaussian directions, we look we're looking for a direction that for this measure looks like the the distribution looks like Gaussian. And if the constant R here is uniform, it's a universal constant, then that means that this behavior for this measure, this direction for this measure, has a distribution that looks like the Gaussian one. So let me start with first say a little bit about the story. Bourguin, for the problem to give bounds for the isotropic constant, proved the following, that if we have a convex body that every direction is sub-Gaussian with a constant R, and this constant is a uniform, a universal constant, then he proved that the isotropic constant is also of order 1. So he solved the problem of the isotropic constant in the case of C2 bodies, and we will say that a body is C2 if every direction satisfies an equality of this form with R, a universal constant. So a natural question is, okay, it is easy to see that there are convex bodies that have directions that don't satisfy this inequality. A typical example is if we take a double cone, then in this direction, what is left here is like e to minus t, so it's sub-exponential, not sub-Gaussian. So we know that there are convex bodies that they have directions that are not sub-Gaussian. Also, it is known that we don't expect even a random direction to be sub-Gaussian. This is an example. The example is B1n. It's known that a random direction satisfies an estimate of this form, but with R to be a square root of log n. Although, natural question that posed by Vitaly Minman, it is it true that at least we can find one sub-Gaussian direction in every convex body? And as I said, by the example of B1n, it's not possible to find it by a random method. We have to do something different. So that was a question, and the first result that gave a positive answer is a result of Bobkov and Nazarov. In the case of one unconditional convex body, the answer is yes. We say that a convex body is one unconditional if it is, if we fit some orthonormal base, then the body is symmetric with respect to all central hyperplanes. And in this case, the answer is yes. There exists a sub-Gaussian direction, and this direction is a diagonal one. So the direction 1, 1, 1, 1 normalize 1 over square root of n. Let me also say that we know a little bit more. Also, all zonoids have the property that they have a sub-Gaussian direction. Actually, we know a little bit more that a random direction is sub-Gaussian in the case of zonoids. But this is just because we know that zonoids are what we say bodies of small diameter. The diameter is the minimal possible order, and in this case, it's easy to get estimates of this form. Now, for the general case, the first result that gave a strong suggests that strongly that perhaps the answer is yes, it was due to Klartag, who said that who proved that for any convex body one can find a direction that's sub-Gaussian with a constant dependent on n, but like a logarithm to the square. That was improved a little bit after in a joint paper with Apostolos Giannopoulos and Alain Pazor to log n. And what I want to talk about is further improvement to square root of log n. So this is the theorem. For any central convex body of volume 1, one can find a direction that we have an estimate of this form. Actually, what I'm saying here is a little bit stronger. So for t, we have this estimate, e to minus t squared over logarithm of t plus 1. And also we have a similar statement for low-concave probability measures. So this is the theorem that I want to talk about. And let me start with some definitions. If we have a center convex body of volume 1 and we have p bigger than 1, we define the LQ centroid bodies, the LP centroid bodies, to be the convex body that has a pot function, the integral over k of linear function to the power p, normalized to be to the power 1 over p. So this is a norm by Minkowski inequality. And we define the T2 body to be the symmetric convex body that has a pot function, the supremum of between 1 and n of the support function of Zp of k over square root of p. So again, this is a convex body, and it's essentially an exercise to check that if I will take here for p to infinity, this definition is equivalent to the Psi norm that I gave before. In the case of convex bodies, it is known that when we pass the value n, then this quantity is constant, so it is enough to take the supremum between 1 and n. Now, the square root of p here is in order to get the t square there, and if you want to see an example, you can take k to be the Euclidean ball, or if you want the Gaussian measure, then one can compute that the p moments of linear function are behaves like square root of p, so this is a constant in every direction. Okay. Now, from definitions, since we took the supremum, we have that Zp are inside square root of p times the psi 2 of k. And in particular, we have that the psi 2 of k contains constant times an ellipsoid, the Z2 of k. And just because we gave us a definition that the Z2 of k in the isotropic position Lk times the ball, this gives us a lower bound for the volume of psi 2 of k, that the power 1 over n is bigger than some constant times Lk times over square root of n. Now, the conjecture here is that also reverse inequality is true with some other universal constant C prime. And if you want to see what this conjecture says, since Z2 of k is an ellipsoid, has volume constant times CLK over square root of n, the conjecture says that for all convex bodies k, the psi 2 of k is a body of bounded volume ratio. So if the conjecture is true, then also the conjecture that always psi 2 direction exists is also true. Actually, this is stronger. The reason is that we have that the psi 2 of k has volume constant times Lk over square root of n. If maybe I forgot to say that if we assume that k is also isotropic, it's easy to check that the median is up to a constant, the integral of the linear functional, which is by definition Lk. So here you can write Lk if you want. So let's say that assume that this is true and that no direction is C2, then this will imply that Hc2 of k, so we go by contradiction, it will be always bigger than constant times Lk, a big constant C. But if this is true, then the C2 body will contain a big ball. And if we will take volumes, this will contradict this conjecture, so we will have a contradiction. What I want to say is that essentially we get the existence of a p-2 direction by estimates for the volume of this body, and essentially that was also the goal in all the other previous papers that I mentioned. So this is the conjecture. We know that this is true in special cases, let's say for one condition convex bodies, for zonoids, and we have also the following theorem which says that we are just the square root of log n away in order to prove this conjecture, and essentially this is a theorem that I will prove, and then the existence will follow by just an argument of contradictions as I described before. So now our goal is to give bounds for this body. Let's recall the definition. We defined the p-2 body to be the support function to be the supremum of the support function of these bodies, of a normalized of the square root of p. So if you write this down, that means that the p-2 of k is the convex hull of all these bodies. Okay. Again, I'm going back to the definition of these bodies. Just because k has volume 1, we have a probability measure, so we know that this is an increasing family. And also by Brumikovsky inequality, or if you want, Borel's lemma, we know that to the 2p dx, we can also have a reverse Kelder inequality with a universal constant. Anytime that I'm writing c, it will be a universal positive universal constant. So we have this inequality, and this is just Kelder. And this is true for every direction. So since we have this, we can discretize. We can consider all these bodies at p of k over square root of p, but just for the values 2 to the k, so we will move 2, 4, 8, etc. And since we have to cover the interval 1 till n, we have only log n many bodies. So now the problem becomes we have log n bodies, and we take the convex hull and we want to compute the volume. Now what is known? We know up to the isotropic constant, we know the volume of these bodies. The first result is by Ludwig Zhang and Yang that essentially proved that the volume of this ZP bodies is minimized when K is the Euclidean ball. So we just compute, and this is of the order of constant times over square root of P over N. And it's also known that we have an upper bound of the same types, a constant times over square root of P over N times LK. So if for a moment, let's say, ignore the factor LK, then we know exactly what our up to universal constant, what is the volume of these two bodies. So here is a misprint, it's constant 1 and constant 2. These constants are different. Okay, so here is the setting. We have the convex hull of log n bodies. For we know exactly the volume of all these bodies. When we define by square root of n, all these bodies have volume as the Euclidean ball, and we want to compute the volume of the convex hull. Now, in general, maybe this is impossible, because if all of these are quite degenerate, you may take the almost degenerate ellipsoids with volume like the ball, take the convex hull, and the volume may explode. So we need to have more information about these bodies. So essentially, what we will do, we will get estimates about the covering number of these bodies. So the covering number, when I'm writing n, a, and b, I mean the covering number of the set a with b, which means the minimum number of translates of b required to cover a. We have this easy inequality that it is just by computing volumes. that I will use at the end. And we will use also the following lemma, that the Kohlberg number of the convex hull of some subsets with a Euclidean ball, it is bounded by the product of the Kohlberg numbers. And we have also a factor of r over p to the power s, where r will be the diameter of these bodies.
Okay.
Now, what is known for the Kohlberg number of these bodies? We have a regularity result which says that if I cover zq of k with t times square root of qlk, square root of qlk is the right normalization, it corresponds to the volume. So if I will take volumes here, the square root of qlk between, it will be up to lk, will be the volume of this body. Then it was proved on a paper with Pazor and Yiannopoulos that we have an estimate of this form, constant times n over t plus constant times square root of n square root of q over square root of t. And the main technical step now we will be to improve this estimate and make it like too regular. So now the covering numbers of zq of k with constant times t square root of qlk will behave like n over t square times square root of n square root of q over t. So this is the main proposition, and I will describe at the end how we use this proposition in order to get the result. Essentially, all these regularity results state that our bodies are not degenerate, are, let's say, in good position. So we have log n bodies that are in good position. We take the convex hull, then the volume should not increase very much. Now, as a corollary of this, this says that if we have the ZQ bodies are in alpha regular position, if where alpha is the minimum of beta n2 and q is n over 1 over beta. But okay, the main proposition will be the proposition that I'm writing up there. Okay, so now how we will get almost too regular, there is well-known result, the Sudakov type estimates that they give two regular estimates for the covering numbers. So if C is a symmetric convex body, I define the mean width of C to be the integral over the sphere of the support function of C. And here I'm just sketching the proof of Talagon for the dual Sudakov, because essentially we will just make a small variant of this proof. We will use a small variant of this proof. So if we have the n-dimensional Gaussian measure for any s and t, one can prove that we have an estimate of this form. The covering numbers of the ball, if I cover it with t times c polar, we have an estimate of e to 2s over t to the square, and then the Gaussian measure of s times the polar of c to the power minus 1. So at this point, what one will do is just take the median. M1 is the median of the support function with respect to the Gaussian measure. This will be 1 half. Then again, the median is close to the expectation. The with respect to the Gaussian is, if one will compute in polar coordinates, it's square root of n times the mean width. So we choose S to be M1, and we get the dual Sudakov estimate that I'm noting down here. Essentially, we will use this argument. Just we will do the following. Essentially, what we want to do it is to we have some additional information about the generalized minus p median of
the
ZQ of the ZP bodies. So we want to have an estimate that use this advantage. So what we will do here, we just take the p median, so it is exactly the number that the Gaussian measure of MP of C polar is 1 over 2 to the p. The I minus p will be the minus p negative moment of C with respect to the Gaussian measure. And also I will use the w minus p, the expectation of the support function to the minus p. By Markov inequality, we have the 1/2. And if we have some assumption about that the minus 2 p negative mid the minus p and the minus 2 p negative moment of with respect to the Gaussian of our norm satisfies some reverse Kelder inequality, then by reverse the Pauli-Zygmund argument we have again the same result that the p median, we can replace the p median with the minus p moment. So now we have the following corollary under some regularity assumption. The covering numbers of C with constant times n over p, the minus p median, is less than constant times p. And the proof is again the same. We choose S to be now the p median. This is square root of n times the minus p mean width. Again, we have the same argument. Now we choose S to be the p median, so we have e to the p there. And we take the best t in the right-hand side inequality, and we get, no, we don't still get this inequality. We get a dual form. And before it was known that it was an argument of Tomczak and Pazor that if we have the dual Sudakov, we can get the Sudakov. Here we have just an estimate for one t, let's say, and but we are saved because the duality of entropy has been proved by Arnstein, Milman, and Sarek, so we can get the Sudakov type estimate that I'm writing there. Okay, now how we will use all this? The main reason is that we have some estimate for the p medians. As I mentioned before, if you forget about the isotropic constant, we have good estimates about the volumes. Now, the negative p medians is some quantities that are bigger, but still one can prove some inequalities. So the two main almost identities are those two that I'm writing here, that integral the moments of the Euclidean norm are up to a constant equal to generalized moments of the ZQ bodies. So if you write everything down, we have this inequality that follows from Ludwig Zhang-Yang. The reason is that when we take and Saint-Allois and reverse Saint-Allois, because if we have, if you write what W minus N means, it's the volume ratio of the ball over the ZQ body, polar. And since we have estimates about the ZQ body, we have an estimate of that this is bigger than constant times square root of Q. The second inequality is just Kelder. And the third inequality follows from this one, because I minus Q of K, again by Kelder, is less than I2 of K, which is of order square root of N LK. So we get also this inequality. What I want to say is that with our knowledge for these bodies gives us estimate not only for the volumes, but also for the negative moments, so, negative moments of the support function over the sphere. So the problem here is that we have LK, and but we can get away from it. So what we will do, we will convolve. This is not a new idea. It was also used by Clartag. So essentially what we do, we take the indicator function of K, we take the convolution with the indicator function of the ball. This will create a loconcave measure, and then we take the right level set, and in this way we construct a new convex body K1 that has, and then if you do all the computations, you get that we have the following properties. First of all, for the new convex body, the isotropic constant is of order 1, so for the new body we don't have problem about the isotropic constant. Also, for all p's, the ZP of K1 is up to universal constant, the sum of ZP of K over LK plus the right multiple of the Euclidean ball. And also we have that the P2 body up to LK is the same. So here I want to also to comment something that is not relevant to the theorem that we want to prove, but this says that given any convex body, I can find a new one that has a bounded isotropic constant, but the P2 bodies are isomorphically the same. That means that the geometry of the P2 body cannot be a reason for the isotropic constant to be unbounded. Anyway, what how we will use it, essentially we will work about a new convex body K1 that we don't have problem with LK. So if you assume that LK is bounded, then we have up to universal constants bounds for this quantity W minus Q of ZQ of K. And the previous theorem says that we can have we have a Sudakov type estimate that does not require the mean width, but some negative moment of the mean width. So if we put all this together, we have the following. We can prove the following, that if we have the convex body K1 that now has a bounded isotropic constant, then for all Qs and for T up to square root of n over square root of Q, we can prove a two regular estimate. And now the proof is the following. We definitely have that W minus R of ZQ of K is of order square root of Q. This just follows from the inequality here. So since we have this, we also, the assumption that we needed, the regularity assumption that the negative moments should be well compared, is also satisfied. We know that this is for the square root of Q, so we have this inequality by the Sudakov type estimate that I said before. So you just replace here square root of Q and set T to be square root of N over square root of R, and you get the estimate that we have on the proposition. Essentially, that's all that we needed. Now, using this proposition, one can get the main proposition that I claimed before. The next term will appear by just using the C1 estimate. So after this point, I don't know how to improve this. We have this estimate holds true also for any Q bigger than 1. So if I will use this estimate and plug it into what we proved before, we get an estimate of this form. But essentially, in this point, looks like that we have lost a lot, because I just used a point-wise estimate and not, let's say, a random one that probably we should. Okay, so now essentially we can finish the proof. So what we've done, we have let's put everything together. We have we want to compute the volume of this body, which is the convex hull of Zt of k over square root of t, and t is like 2 to the k runs from 1 till log n. And we have, instead of it, we will compute the covering numbers of this body with t times. So I will do everything for k1. And so LK is not there, but because of this inequality, if I will do it for K1, then I will get it also for K, and the LK will appear at the end. Okay, so now I want to cover the psi 2 of K with T times D to N, and I will use the lemma that this is less than constant times R over T. S here is log n, and it's easy to check that the radius that we have here is polynomial with respect to n. It's like square root of n. And here I have the product I from 1 till S of n AI, sorry, this is ZP of K over square root of T with T times B1. Okay, first remark, it is this is a square root of N to the log. Essentially, we want to get bounds of the type e to the N over something, so this is very small, will not play any role. And we have to bound this this product. So what we will do, we will cut the psi 2 of k in two pieces. Let's call this v1 will be the convex hull of zp of k over square root of p, again with the same rate, just we will go till p over n over log n. And v2 will be the convex hull of what is left, and p between n and n over log n. Now, since we move with rate 2 to the k, here we don't have too many, but we have just log n bodies. And the estimate that we have in order to bound this one, it is remember that this is like n over t squared plus square root of n square root of p over t. This is the estimate that we proved. So if we will take t to be log n, square root of log n, and if we have that p is less than n over log n, then this is less than n over log n, right? So the covering numbers of this, the covering number of V1 with square root of log n V1 will be less than e to n over log n, and we have log n many. So it will be n over log n log n. It will be like e to the n. And we have a similar argument for this one. Here we don't have n over log n, but we have very few log n. So also one gets that v2 with square root of log n b to n is less than e to the n. And then we just take the convex hull of v1 and v2, we retrieve the c2 C2 of K1, we use this lemma once more, and we get at the end that the covariant number of C2 of K with square root of log n is less than e to the n. And essentially that's it, because now we just use the easy estimate for the volume. So we can finish the proof, because the C2 of K will be less than the covariant number C2 of K with square root of log n. And then I have the square root of log n times the ball. We just take the powers and we get the powers 1 over n, and we get this here. Okay, that's all. Thank you very much. We have now an estimate, but of course it's really it's a tiny thing. We cannot expect.
Tiny up to order e to the power minus n, e to the power minus square root of n.
I think the measure of theta such that C2 of theta is less than t times square root of log n is bigger than e to the n over t squared. This is what we have at this moment. And we hope to get minus n over t squared. And but actually, we have to work more than this in order to get this tiny estimate that we have.
Like a remark and some question. The remark is that I already don't believe that it would be. It would be. I don't.
Maybe.
Example.
Just a remark. This way of proving it by covariant numbers, even if we have the best covariant numbers, it will still again give a square root of log n. So, if one will want to improve it, it needs must find a really new type of an argument.
And on your page 15, you show that K1 void and K void I think it's more so not that you cannot recover a k, but because you keep to divide it on a k. But I think it shows that you have thin shell in the same. This is what you're saying. The thin shell for k and k1 should go to the same order.
Yeah. If you convolve with a Gaussian, I think you don't have it. Either. I just make a remark that this says that more or less the geometry of the C2 should not be a reason for LK to be a bounded. But okay, I'm not saying that it's bounded or unbounded, just the geometry of C2 should not be a reason. Sorry? Here? If p is greater than n, then the zp of k are like k. Actually, so this follows by Brumikovsky. For p bigger than n, the zp of k is this. By mean I have inclusions with universal constants, the convex hull of k and minus k. And if you have, if k is symmetric, the ZP is like K. So that's the main reason that I stop till N, because after N I know that this function does not increase. So it is enough to consider all P's like till N. This is for the case of convex bodies, not for locum K measures.
Even
Well, essentially this is the, well, when P goes to N, something must start to go wrong, I think. But I think there is still a lot of space. It's interesting.